think we got the fire going good now. Is it at least burning?
At least the wood is cooking.
Yeah. Okay, y'all.
You're shining in the smoke.
I don't care what the fire.
Shining in the smoke.
Y'all, let's pray real fast before we get started. Let's bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this incredible week you've given us, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit is with us tonight as we fellowship in your name one last time for this year. I ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so everyone, we're gonna try singing. We're gonna try singing out here, but we don't have a sound system. Now my guitar isn't that loud. Can you guys hear it even over there?
Yeah. Yes.
But hopefully, y'all know these songs well enough. You don't even need this guitar. So feel free to belt them. If need be, I'll make my way to the middle.
Yes! Yes!
We'll just stand up.
Whatever may pass.
Thank you. Pray with me.
Heavenly Father, this week we've been reminded over and over again of your great grace. And it's because of it that we can stand before you unashamed. And so we pause here this night, this week, to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being a source of grace that never runs dry. Thank you for being gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love. Thank you for being faithful in your character. The same God that we know right here, right now at this camp, is the same God that goes with us each and every day of our life. Lord, it is you that we serve, and what a joy it is to serve you. We pray that you would give us that joy. Give us the joy of knowing you, of being like Jesus, as we walk in this world, as we live in our schools and our jobs, as we serve you in our churches, as we know you in your community. In all these things, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Spirit dwells within me. Think.
So we're going to sing one more song here. This is a song called Psalm 23, which we learned this week. And in it, it says that God's mercy goes with us. I want you to think about this week, about what was special about this week. This week was special because of some very simple things. It was special because there were people that were speaking the word of God to you, that were preaching to you. It was special because you were spending time in God's word and in prayer. It was special because the Holy Spirit was with us at work. It was special because we had one another. We had fellow believers around us. And you know what happens when you leave here? You go back to your churches where you hear the word preached. You go back with the word of God in your hand. You go back with the gift of prayer. If you go back to a place where you're surrounded by believers, everything that you experienced here, oh, and you go back with the Holy Spirit. The same one that's been working so mightily within you now goes back with you. That is God's mercy following you each and every step. This week is special. My life was changed at YXL. The Lord used it powerfully in my life. But don't for a moment think that everything about this week wasn't ordinary. You walk back with the very same gifts, the very same ways that God is at work here. He is at work in your life, wherever you may go at, because His Spirit goes with you. That's His promise to you. He is your shepherd. He leads you to good places. He is always with you, because His Spirit is always in you. You sing this, Psalm 23. When we get to the chorus, we need to sing it out to help one another in this one. It's kind of new. Here we go.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
Sing that again.
The Lord's my shepherd.
That's pretty cool, huh? Just being able to worship together out in God's nature. Something different, I think it's pretty cool. This is normally the time that our main speaker, in this case Tony, would be kind of wrapping up the week and tying everything together that he talked about all week. He mentioned to me several times that he hated that he had to miss. When he first made agreed to do this, he thought he'd be ready to go by Friday. He has a wedding to do tomorrow night in St. Louis, and that's why he left. And he said that, by Friday I should be ready to go. But throughout the week, because of y'all and the work that the Lord did in y'all's hearts, he mentioned several times, today before he left, yesterday, that he absolutely hates that he had to miss today. I know that many of y'all said that he touched your hearts, and he told me that many of y'all touched his heart as well. So I know he was disappointed that he couldn't be here today. And I'm not Tony. I didn't go to seminary school. I'm not a youth pastor. I was a dad that loved working with kids, and I loved the Lord. And that's why I got involved with YXL. I know several of you mentioned tonight that you hate getting up in front of people and talking, and I'm right there with you. I'm not gifted in that area. And so we're going to do things a little bit differently than what you're used to. Obviously, being outside is one. But first of all, I want to just, I don't know if Tanner's still out here. Is Tanner, you here? I don't know if he had to go back in. I want to thank the Horn Creek staff. They did an amazing job this week. The way that they served us, you could just see it every day in the dining hall, that they love to serve, and I appreciate that so much. They're a blessing to us as well, just by serving us the food every night and every day. I want to thank all the counselors. I thank them personally this morning when we met as a group, but I want to thank them in front of y'all. They have the hardest job here. I'm the director, but in my opinion, it's a fairly easy job during the week. I do a lot of work before the week, and during the week, I just kind of make sure that things run smoothly. They have a really hard job, and so counselors, did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Okay. I also want to thank the staff. Tony, for speaking. I know he's not here. Hopefully he'll hear this recording, but he did a fantastic job. He was awesome. He took the theme that we gave him, Obey Your Faith, and he just ran with it. And he did just an outstanding job covering that topic. For our speakers, we had John and Paul with the leadership class they did. They did a great job. Well, yeah, it's kind of both places. It's kind of a bad place to go, but
step up this way.
No, come over here. That's better. David, Andrea, and Annette with their relationship talk. Jeremy with his conflict talk. Chris Anderson, who does so much work behind the scenes. I think that's everybody.
Billy.
How could I forget about Billy? Billy and I have a special relationship that I have with no other.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. So staff, you guys make my job much, much easier. Many of you said that this was my first year as being director. I was a little nervous about it, but to all the staff, thank you so much for all the work that you put into it and the commitment that you have to serving these kids. And last but definitely not least, I want to thank y'all, the students. Y'all are absolutely fantastic. I wish that I had a conference like this to go to when I was your age. Y'all are just as much a blessing to me and my family as you know, the staff are to y'all, and the counselors are to y'all. I learn from y'all every year. I said this before, that I get just as much out of this week as y'all do, sometimes more. Y'all truly are like family to me, and the counselors and the staff. The YXL is such a special place, and I hope you can appreciate what you have here this week. You know, we go to church every Sunday with other brothers and sisters in Christ, but the Lord has blessed this group of people that I truly believe that they're family. You know, people like Sam Pepke and David Poteet, John and Paul Ranheim, and many others, you know, I see them once a week out of the year. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll see them a day or two here and there, but once a week I see them. Scott Schindler. And I'm closer to them than many people I go to church with every Sunday. I remember a couple of years ago specifically, my daughter Bailey, y'all, you know her pretty well now. She was very, very sick, and we didn't know what her problem was. We had test after test after test. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And I put a little post on Facebook, you know, please pray for my daughter. We don't know what's wrong with her. And I had more prayers and responses from YXL people than anybody else. You know, my own family, my personal family included. And so, you know, y'all, this really is your family. And Solomon said, you know, in his testimony tonight, I don't know when I'm going to see you guys again. This is his last year, okay? I know for a fact that we're going to see each other in heaven, okay? We may not see each other on earth, but I promise you we'll see each other in heaven. This is just a small sample of what it's going to be like in heaven. I really believe it. We're going to be singing and praising together for eternity someday. You know, I'm a list guy. I'm like John. I have my list right here. You know, but many of y'all said what I was going to say in your testimonies tonight. And instead of repeating that, you know, it just shows me that, you know, the Holy Spirit was working this week. One of my prayers before YXL starts is that the Lord will work in all of our hearts, the counselors, the staff, and the students. I know some people come to camp not sure what to expect. Some people come with walls built up around their hearts. And my prayer is that, you know, He touches each and every one of you. And I really saw that happen this week. I saw it in your prayers in the mornings and the evenings. I saw it in the questions that you were asking. You know, I talked with a lot of your counselors about how things were going, and they said the same thing. They could really see change. And that's just evidence of the Holy Spirit working in all's lives. And so that is truly an answered prayer. But this week isn't about me and what I observed in y'all. This week truly is about how the Lord was working in each one of y'all's hearts. And so I just want to take a few moments and hear from y'all. The theme of the week was obey your faith. And I want to know if there was anybody that came into the week with a certain expectation of what you were going to hear and are leaving with a totally different attitude about obeying your faith. Is there anybody that's willing to share?
I was never so happy to be disappointed in all my life.
Amen. I can't see anybody's hand, so just speak up. Yes, right there.
I'd say so. I didn't really know that much about what the camp thing was. I checked on the website and found that out. But when I got here, you hear obey your faith and thinking, all right, every lecture is going to be a checklist, kind of like we all talked about, joked about the whole week, and that's not at all what it is. It's all about how, not what we're supposed to do, it's about that it's already finished. And, yeah, completely different than what I was expecting.
Anybody else? Anybody else have a change?
When I first heard the theme, I was really excited because I was just sick and tired of failing, and I just thought that people around me could really preach to me and get me to do it, but it's really ignorant, and I'm just really glad that the Holy Spirit does it because I obviously can't, and my heart will not, and the Holy Spirit will, and that's just a blessing.
Thank you. Yes.
When I heard that the theme was Obey Your Faith, I honestly thought you were going to be told how we sin every single day, and that we need to not sin or we're going to hell. That's honestly what I expected, and I never expected to hear an entire series on grace and how it's not possible for us to obey, but that's okay, because he obeyed for us.
Anyone else have a different attitude about obedience from when they first started the week?
I've always had trouble with authority since I was a youth, something I've always struggled with a lot. So when I saw the was Obey Your Faith, I kind of inwardly groaned a little bit. And I, even though I knew I needed it, I didn't want to deal with it. But Tony's talks on they and the grace talks and the small groups really helped me realize that it shouldn't be me feeling obligated because obedience is gratitude for what has been done, not payment, because that has already been.
Jeremy taught us a lot about conflict this week, conflict resolution. Can anybody share with maybe how they have a different attitude of how they're going to handle conflict in the future? Else want to share what they have learned or how they've grown this week with conflict?
I think the conflict talk really helped me because I definitely run away from conflict. Like, almost all of my conflict is low grade, like Jeremy was talking about. And I think that because I'm not saying it, I don't have it. And it really taught me that I have to face that conflict, and I have to talk about it. I have to bring up things that are a problem with my relationships, but also I have to think about my conflict with God before, and that was definitely a huge help.
Good, thank you. Bella.
I just love every time I come to YXL, it's different, but the similar things is that we always point out the problems in this life. And I just get super depressed and sad and groan with the Spirit. And then right then, they show the grace of God, that He will make all things new, and it's this constant conflicting, like two really conflicting things happening in my heart, and I know that all of us face it, and it's so encouraging to know that finally one day it'll be done, and it always makes me happy that one day it will be done, and I thank Jeremy for reminding me that conflict will be done, and that our conflict with God is really the reason why we have conflict with others.
Along with the conflict talk as well, you know, when you said, like, when you just let things, you know, just let things go, and just let things go, they just, it doesn't resolve, and it just, it gets worse, and, like, that really convicted me, because I do that with my dad, I'll definitely say, and so, that's definitely affected our relationship, and I would say that's in large part my fault, for just letting things go, pretending like, you know, they're okay. So that's really convicting me, and Holy Spirit really moving me in that way. So.
Thank you. What about David and Andrea and Annette's relationship talk? I know there's a lot of questions about that yesterday in the forum. Does anyone want to share how the Lord has been working in their hearts when it comes to relationships?
Just kind of look at them differently. Definitely, it's just, you know, a common thing in high school to date. It's kind of fun. It's kind of the sense of belonging and whatnot. But, like, as David would say, like, and people brought up, like, this is intended for you to, like, find a future spouse or whatever. And so if you can't see, like, this person, like, I think someone said, like, raising your children or something like that, they really need to get away from that. And that just takes it to a whole new level. And it's just a different purpose for relationships. And so I think when we look at it this that way, it's not as easy to just throw yourself to someone, I guess. And so just the importance and the intention that God gave us in relationships was, I think, that David did a really awesome job in bringing that out. So thank you for that.
You did do great. God working in their heart this week when it comes to relationships.
God and understanding, you know,
John and Paul gave a 2-day seminar on leadership and personality. Does anyone feel differently about their own leadership abilities or the gifts that you've been given? Yes.
For the past few years, I've had my friends at school tell me that they think that things about me are annoying or that they want me to change certain things, and I tried so hard to change myself, and so it was so refreshing to find out that I can't change myself because God made me exactly how I am, and to Him I'm perfect, and I don't need to change myself.
Oh. One of my favorite things of the seminar was when they said that learning about your personality isn't just learning about your strengths and what you're best at, but also learning about how you should deal with other personalities. And so it's not just about you here at camp, it's also about helping others see how much God cares for them. And so understanding why sometimes it's so hard to love that person sometimes really does help. You're like, I really don't want to love this person because I'm made this way, but it's also my sin has made me this way. So it does give you a better understanding of stuff, and understanding does bring a lot of, really helps you to just get stuff done, and it's really reassuring. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I think it was really reassuring to see that certain things people think that I do as weird or strange are just the way that God made me, and there's no better way that He made me.
Absolutely. What about the games and the team building activities? Anybody learn anything about themselves through those activities?
I'm not 17 anymore.
Rodney starts again.
Now we're gonna have blocks.
Amen.
But it's just better.
Those are questions. Oh, questions will never be called again.
But it's better. Hey, no argument here.
We'll see if we can bring that back.
Bose and Questers brings out the sinful nature.
Quidditch with foam swords.
Bose and Questers brings out sinful nature in people.
True. Animal side.
Maybe we did that on purpose.
I think you really did.
Yes.
I felt like the devil was in me that whole time. But like the devil was just trying to be like, oh, they just hit you really hard. Why don't you just hit them hard really back?
You know, we joke about that, but that really is some truth behind that. That we do put you in situations where you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to struggle because we want to see that, how you're going to respond to that. Anybody else?
Well,
learn anything? Go ahead.
Taking what we learned from our leadership, the leadership seminar, it was nice to take that into the games because I usually had a hard time with people that were like quieter, but I learned more about them, so it I feel like our team worked a lot better after having those seminars, and it was really helpful. And we all just had a better understanding about each other, and that was very helpful.
Yeah, your team won.
Oh, wait.
Whatever.
Yes, Nani.
The struggles and frustrations
grow just as much in a defeat as you can in a victory, for sure. Yes. Yeah, exactly, and that correlates with our spiritual life. We can't do this on our own. You know, we need the help of each other with fellowship. We need the help of Christ. We cannot do this on our own. So that's a great point. Anybody else? Well, again, I just want to thank y'all so much for being such a tremendous group. For my first year here as director, I've talked with several other counselors that have been here many times, and some of y'all have probably noticed this too, but we really had very little drama this year. We had a couple big issues come up, but there wasn't a lot of small stuff, and so for that I thank you. And now I'm going to hand it over to Jeremy, who's much more fitting to speak to you and to tie things up. We're going to take communion, and then we'll close with the benediction. So, again, thank you so much, Jeremy.
So I'm not checking Twitter, but I have a couple of quotes here I want to read you. Okay. I know it's late, but we have one more thing to do. Okay. It's the most important thing that we could possibly do, and it's the final thing that we're going to do as a camp, and that is come before Jesus in word and sacrament, right? To meet Jesus through his word and through his body and blood. A moment ago, Paul said that what we're doing here may seem extraordinary, but it's actually very ordinary. You spent time in prayer. You spent time reading and listening to the word of God. You spent time in fellowship. In our tradition as Presbyterians, we call those things the ordinary means of grace. They are ordinary, they're common, but God does something extraordinary through them. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, that it's very simple. It's a message of faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. But it's also mysterious because it's a message that we have to preach to ourselves daily. Right? There was this man who was a pastor outside of Philadelphia. His name was Jack Miller. And he said that we must preach the gospel to ourselves daily. And the message of the gospel that we must preach is that we are more sinful than we can possibly imagine, and yet more loved than we ever dared hope. And so when you leave YXL, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Begin with an awareness of your sin, but end with hope in your Savior. In fact, another dead Presbyterian named Robert Murray McShane said, for every one look you take at your sin, take 10 looks at Christ. Right? So don't take your eyes off Jesus. There's a couple of quotes I came across two nights ago. I was reading some blogs on my iPad, trying to catch up on some just what was going on. And I came across these two quotes from Martin Luther in his commentary to the Galatians. And I think they perfectly summarize everything you've heard, primarily from Tony, but also in the Grace Talks, hopefully in what I said and the other speakers. Here's the first quote I want to leave you with. I want you to really ponder what Luther wrote concerning Paul's letter to the Galatians. With Paul, we absolutely deny the possibility of self-merit. God never gave any person grace and everlasting life as a reward for merit. The true way of salvation is this. First, a person must realize that he is a sinner, the kind of sinner who is congenitally unable to do anything good. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And those who seek to earn the grace of God by their own efforts are trying to please God with sin. They mock God and actually provoke his anger. the first step on the way of salvation is to repent. This is the second quote that Luther wrote in his commentary. Here I must take the counsel of the gospel. I must hearken to the gospel, which teaches me not what I ought to do, but what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done for me. We must know the gospel well. We must teach it to others, and we must beat it into our heads continually. Right? And so Hope, where are you?
Back here.
Hope said in her testimony that she is slow to get this grace thing. Right? We all are. We're all slow to get this grace thing. We forget that it's God's grace. And so Luther was right. We have to beat it into our heads continually that it's Jesus' work and not our work. And the last thing I want to read you is a prayer. A prayer that was written 2 days ago by Paul Tripp. Do you know Paul Tripp? Mm-hmm. This is the prayer that he wrote. I want this to be your prayer. And then we'll come to the table. I want to believe there is another way. I want to think that I am the exception to the rule. I grasp at the thought that my righteousness is enough. I hold to the hope that my behavior satisfies you. I want to think that you judge me worthy. It is my evaluation that I am capable of your standard. I want to hold on to my assessment that I am not like others. I can see plainly that they offend your law. I get the fact that they fall short of your glory. I know very well that others cannot stand before you, but I want to think that I am not like them. I want to hold your word and my righteousness at the same time. I want to celebrate the gospel and my worthiness together. But it is a self-sufficient delusion. It aggrandizes me and diminishes you. It minimizes sin and devalues grace. It asks the law to do what only the gospel can accomplish. It denies the daily evidence of my sin. It ignores the true condition of my heart. It turns away from the sacrifice that you have made. It omits your sovereign plan. It forgets the desperate condition of my need. And so I turn to you to know what is true, that I am nothing without you. I accept the invitation of your grace. I run to the sacrifice of your cross. I cry for the help of your spirit. I accept the diagnosis of your word. And I trust the faithfulness of your love. I seek the forgiveness that only you can give, and I reject the righteousness that is my own. That's what we're going to do now for about 30 seconds. To spend a moment in silent reflection where we have neglected the grace of God because we have held on to our own delusions of grandeur and self-righteousness. A time of confession before we receive the work of Jesus for us. So let's do that. Now lift up your heads, lift up your hearts, and know that there is grace in the words of the Apostle John, who said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's going to be four guys over here who will distribute the Lord's Supper on this side. I'm going to give you some instructions, and then I'll remind you about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. When you come up, there'll be two stations kind of over here. It's dark. Don't go that way. You'll fall into the fire like that person in the Bible did. Remember, his son was an epileptic. He fell into the fire. Don't do that. That's bad. And there's a screen and there's a cross. So don't go that way. The cross behind me, the table before me, I guess. Go this way. Okay? And help someone see if you got a flashlight. So the Apostle Paul, writing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is given for you. After supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins for many. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come. In that spirit, let's receive the body and blood of Christ. Thank you.
dragons.
Yeah.
And now I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on.
Yeah.
diction means good word. Bene good, diction word. God is speaking his good word to you. This word from number 16, or number 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
If you have anything that you want to give to the Horn Creek staff, you can bring it up here, put it in this basket. Otherwise, go pack up.
Praise God, whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
Lord.
Amen.